The podcast, it is real. Finally, the podcast is real. Hello and welcome to the T-Voom podcast. My name's Pete, I like pictures. You can find mine, of course, on my blog, which is tvoom.tumblr.com, tvoom.tumblr.com. And on the navigation of my blog, you can also find a link to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/TVoom Photography. One word, TVoom, TVOOM Photography. And for all the German listeners out there, there will be also a German podcast. One day there will be a German podcast as well. Just like there is a German version of my YouTube channel. So far, at the time of recording, there's only one video on there. Yet, you can find a link to that, T-Voom in German, on my YouTube channel. And I will also probably have a link on the navigation of my blog soon. I don't know if it will be on there yet when this first episode launches. Before I want to start this very first episode, I want to say big thank yous to Joey of LastLights.net for all the encouragement over the last months. Check out his blog and his website, of course, and also check out his free ebook on learning how to shoot very long exposure photos at twilight and dusk. And like with almost all my audio and video productions, the music is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. The piece that is playing right now is called Surf Shimmy, and it is licensed under a Creative Commons license 3.0. And you will find all the links in the description of this podcast. So what is this podcast all about? It is all about, well, of course, photography. That is the main focus of this podcast, or will be the main focus. But I don't want to restrict myself or limit myself to photography only. So this is kind of a sort of a, creativity type of thing. And I have already talked with quite some people who might, or probably, most definitely, because they said, yes, I will do that. Join me in this podcast. Some of them, photographers, of course, or people who do photography, and also some people who are in other areas of creative work. And now, the rant. Whenever we're talking about creative work in general, or photography in particular, the big question always comes up: what has already been done? What is new? What is exciting? And what is terribly boring and maybe even redundant? Let's start with photographic cliches. What are photographic cliches? What are cliches anyway? The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary says, for the word cliché, it is a phrase or expression that has been used so often that it is no longer original or interesting. It is something that is so commonly used in books, stories, etc., that it is no longer effective. So what are photographic clichés? They are subjects, effects, certain ways of processing photos, certain ways of taking photos that have been used so often that they are no longer original or interesting, so commonly used that they are no longer effective. And if you do a search on the web, you will find lists and lists and lists of photographic clichés you should avoid like the plague. Some people on Tumblr actually even tell you in their YouTube videos that you should not take photos of certain things. What am I referring to? I did a video once about the so-called color key effect. And I mentioned in an admittedly quite sarcastic quote-unquote disclaimer that you shouldn't take photos of poppies because they're cheesy So, and some people took that really seriously, and I got into talking with some people about that, and the questions came up. Questions like, what can I still shoot? Isn't everything already covered? And hasn't everything already become a cliche? So let's talk about that. What are some of the most commonly used photographic cliches? Well, here's a little list of things that came to my mind. Photos of clouds, flowers, pets, especially, of course, cats, right? Dramatic sunsets, rainbows. I always wanted to shoot a rainbow. I never had the opportunity to shoot a rainbow. Railway tracks, beaches, babies, grass, macros of bees on flowers, graveyards, selfies in the mirror, the expressive hands of old people or craftsmen. In black and white, of course, right? Landmarks. Think about the also original forced perspective. Hey, I'm holding the Leaning Tower of Pisa so that it doesn't fall completely over. Or people looking through a frame that they are holding. The classic wedding ring in an open book with light put up that way so that the shadow of the ring creates a heart. Adding frames to your photos. Watermarks. Watermarks. Big cliche, right? The so-called Dutch angle. Really, really heavy vignetting. The mentioned color keys. Think about red roses or poppies. And don't shoot poppies, please. In a black and white photo, right? Or the well-known red bus or telephone booth in a black and white London setting. Big cliche. Overly smoothed skin on portraits, black and white, where it doesn't really add something to the photo. Overly saturated HDRs. Actually, they're not HDRs, but tone map photos. But okay, terms. That some people like to refer to as clown's vomit. I really like that. Fake lens flares. Or all of the infamous Instagram vintage effects. The list is endless. The question is, of course, why do people do that over and over and over and over again? Simple. A cliche has become a cliche because it works. All these things work. And all of them are beautiful. At least to those who haven't seen them a lot. So let me get back to the definition of cliché. It is all about effectiveness, originality, and interest. And let's be honest, how very, very, very subjective is that? Especially interest. If I'm not interested in portrait photography, which I am, by the way, even very much, then even the greatest, most well-executed, highly original portrait is of no interest to me. So let's skip that. Skip interest. If you find something worth shooting, if you are interested in something, there is at least one person who is interested in that, and that is you. And who do you take pictures for in the first place anyway, right? You. Same goes for originality. Highly, highly, highly subjective. This has largely to do with how many photos you have already seen, how deep you are in the quote-unquote photographic scene. Some people see 1,000 photos a day, and they have virtually seen everything. Of course they are more picky with quote-unquote originality. But isn't everything we do by ourselves an original? Yes, it might not differ so much from things that are already there, things that others have done before, maybe even 1,000 times, but it's still your original work. You spent time and you spent effort, energy, and probably even emotion in creating it. So there is a huge part of you in every single shot you took. If that isn't original, then what? And let me give you another thought. Many people, me included, tend to see only one photo at a time. But I'm sure you have more than just that one photo. Combined, your body of work might show a completely different picture. And combined, all those probably not so unique and not so original bricks build a very unique house. The last bit, effectiveness. Here we are at the core of probably the combination of the artistic and technical part of that all. It's all about the use of composition and exposure, about the angle of view, the use of depth of field and focal length, the processing and the effects, and of course also the use of color or the lack of color, the use of light, the choice of your equipment, etc., etc., etc. That all, whether consciously or not, or because of circumstances, or simply because of gut feeling. Don't be afraid to use cliches. If something drives you to take a photo of it, do it, no matter how cliche or unoriginal it is, and no matter how many smarty pants tell you that this is cheesy. If it moves you, take a photo of it. Shoot it. Well, with a camera, not a gun, just saying. Unless you have a Canon with one N. You can do that. If you go through the admittedly incomplete list of cliches that I mentioned before and try to recreate them, you will see how hard some of them really are to achieve. And by struggling through this list to recreate them, wow, can you imagine how much you will learn? To find your own photographic voice doesn't come in the box with your camera. Go out shooting or go in shooting. Shoot everything you want to shoot. With every photo you put time and effort into creating, you will grow as a photographer. Photography is also exercising. Photography is also rehearsing, like learning to play an instrument, knowing each and every cliche and having recreated it. Adds tools to your photographic toolbox. You will learn how to use your camera. You will learn how to use your equipment. You will learn how to use your software. You will learn how to use color, how to use perspectives, how to use focal lengths, how to use aperture, how to use exposure time effectively. And even more importantly, you will sharpen your view. Don't, and I repeat, don't let anybody tell you what not to do. Except for puppies. Don't shoot puppies, right? They're cheesy. Just saying. And now, tech terms and techniques. Photography from A to Z. Today, F, like focal length. What is focal length? Focal length is usually the basic description of a lens. We are talking about 50 millimeter lenses and 100 millimeter lenses, etc., etc., etc. And it is, as you might have guessed, measured in, well, millimeter. Simply speaking, it describes how much of the scenery in front of us can be captured. How is that? And what do millimeters have to do with that? Other than you might have probably thought the focal length in millimeter does not describe the physical length of the lens, but it describes the distance of the optical center of your lens, the point inside your lens where the light rays that enter your lens converge to the camera's sensor or film, if you shoot analog. This is a bit of a weird way to describe how much will eventually end up in your photo, right? Because it doesn't really directly tell something about the angle of view that our lens has. That is true. But the angle of view, or the field of view, that is what the focal length is all about. How much of the scenery in front of our camera can we capture? Yes, there are ways to calculate that, to figure out the exact angle. But I really don't want to get into this. If you are interested in that, I put a link into the description. The important thing to understand about focal lengths is the smaller the number, the wider the angle we can capture. And the bigger the number, the more narrow the angle, and so the higher the magnifying factor. With zoom lenses, we can change the focal length of a lens, and so change the angle of view. So if we use a longer focal length, the angle of view gets more narrow. We zoom in. The magnification of the lens is stronger. Imagine an elephant in front of you. With a wide-angle lens, you can probably take a photo of it from trunk to tail. With a telephoto lens, you can take a photo of, say, just the eye, without moving physically closer, because the capturing angle is more narrow. There are two types of lenses. Lenses with a fixed focal length, so-called prime lenses, and lenses with a changeable focal length, zoom lenses. What type of lens do you need? Focal lengths are commonly described as wide angle, normal, or telephoto. Usually, all lenses with a focal length of 35 mm or smaller can be called wide angle. Lenses between 35 and about 70 mm are called normal lenses. And lenses with focal lengths of more than 70 mm are usually called telephoto lenses. Classic wide-angle lenses are 12, 16, 18 or 24 mm lenses. The classic normal lens is, well, you surely heard about that or even have one, a 50 mm lens. And telephoto lenses, well, the common focal lengths are at 100 mm, 200 mm or longer. You probably heard about the fact that the same focal lengths are different on different, in brackets, digital cameras. Well, this is not really 100% accurate. The focal length is always the same on all cameras. A lens with a focal length of 50 mm always has this 50 mm distance from the optical center of the lens to the sensor. So the lens always captures the same angle with the same focal length. The difference, though, is that different cameras might have different sized sensors. The angle is always calculated to fill a so-called full frame sensor, a sensor that has the same size as a 35 mm film negative. This is the standard. Almost everything in photography is calculated for. If your sensor is smaller than that, though, which is highly likely because most sensors are, for example, if you have a camera with an APS-C, DX or Micro Four Thirds sensor, the angle the lens can capture is bigger than what the sensor can capture. Confused? Don't be. It is pretty simple. Imagine a film theater, and imagine the movie projected onto the screen. In the movie theater, the projection will fill the whole screen, right? If you have a smaller screen, though, not the whole projected picture will be visible. You only see a crop of that. And the same happens inside of your camera. Your lens projects a picture onto the inner back of your camera. And depending on how big the sensor of your camera is, the more of the picture you see. Standard is, as I mentioned, a full-frame sensor, which can capture the complete projected picture with a full angle. If the sensor is smaller, not the whole picture can be captured. the visible angle in your photo is smaller. We seemingly zoom in because we only capture a crop. And yes, this would be basically the same as taking a photo with a full-frame sensor and cropping that bit out. We wouldn't have the same resolution though, of course. And that is why we talk about the crop factor, so that we can compare the effect of the same lens on cameras with different sized sensors. Let me give you a small example. A 50 mm lens on a full frame camera has roughly a horizontal angle of view of 40 degrees. The same lens on an APS-C camera has roughly a horizontal angle of view of only 25 degrees. So it is much more narrow, meaning more zoomed in. The magnification is bigger. And these 25 degrees are about the angle of view we get with an 80 mm lens on a full frame camera. 50 multiplied with 1.6 is 80. So the crop factor of a, in brackets, Canon APS-C sensor is 1.6. We know that a 50 mm lens on a camera with an APS-C sensor has the same effect, meaning the same angle of view and so the same magnifying factor as an 80 mm lens on a full frame camera. So we know that 50 mm, a normal focal length, on a camera with an APS-C sensor has the effect of a slight telephoto lens of 80 mm on a full frame camera. Crop sensors cannot take full advantage of wide angle lenses. But on the other hand, we get more quote unquote punch with telephoto lenses. Using a 300 mm lens on an APS-C crop sensor will give you about the same magnification as 480 mm on a full frame sensor. Knowing the crop factor of our camera sensor will help us to determine what exactly we get when we buy a lens. Well, 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 the D-Boom podcast, the first episode is over. More than 24 minutes. Who would have thought that? Well, I know a couple of people who are probably actually surprised that it's only 24 minutes. It was a blast for me. I had so much fun. I hope that you had at least half of the fun that I had while producing that. If you like that, then please spread the word. So far, this at the time of recording, of course, and at the time of publishing this first episode, this podcast is not listed on iTunes yet or on any kind of podcasting, I don't know how they're called, listings yet. So if you like it, please spread the word. And you can also, of course, visit me on my blog, TVOOM, tvoom.tumblr.com. Send me messages, send me questions, send me suggestions, send me feedback. Is there something you want to have on this show in the future? If you have any kind of question, so no question is too basic. And if you're not on Tumblr, you can use, of course, the anon option. So you can send me an Ask Anonymous, or even if you're on Tumblr, you can also use the anonymous option. And but if you're on Tumblr, if you're subscribed to Tumblr, you can also use the messenger. And if that wouldn't be all a lot already, you can find my email in my About Me section as well. And if you rather have videos, then visit me on YouTube, youtube.com/C4Channel/TVOOM Photography. In one word, TVOOM Photography on YouTube. This one's for today. Bye bye. Till next time. Next month, same station, same podcast. Bye-bye.